Amen. We're going to turn together in God's precious word to the prophecy of Jeremiah. The prophecy of Jeremiah and to the chapter 21. Jeremiah chapter 21. I'd like to read a section from this chapter. And there's a verse in this chapter that the Lord has laid upon my heart for the gospel meeting this evening. Jeremiah 21 and the verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur, the son of Malchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, saying, Inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. Then said Jeremiah unto them, Thus shall ye say to Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls. And I will assemble them into the midst of this city. And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterwards, saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants and the people, and such as are left in this city, from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity, nor have mercy. And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live. And his life shall be unto him for a prey. For I have set my face against this city for evil, and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Amen. We land there at verse 10, and may the Lord add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious and infallible word. Amen. Well, we're turning together in the gospel this evening to Jeremiah and to the chapter 21. And the verse of scripture that I would like to bring before you tonight is verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 21 and the verse 8. And we read here, And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And we entitle the message this evening, A Matter of Life and Death. And you have in the verse of Scripture, the way of life and the way of death. Let's just unite together to seek the help of the Lord in a brief word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that we would know Thy presence even around Thy precious word. We ask, O God, for grace and for power to be granted to us to preach the word. and to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And we pray even now for the infilling of thy Spirit, and help us, our Father, to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even tonight, our Father, that sinners would be converted and that thy name would be glorified. Hear and answer our prayer, and do abide with us now. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Bill Shankly was a very famous football manager in the 1960s and the early 70s. And he was known at times for his witty comments. And on one occasion he was being interviewed about his devotion to football. And he said, "If some people believe that football is a matter of life and death, I can assure you it is much more important than that." And of course he made those comments tongue in cheek. But that saying, a matter of life and death, that's a saying that would be used to emphasize a matter that is of the utmost importance. It's a situation where someone may die or suffer great harm if action is not taken. A matter of life and death. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can truly be described as a matter of life and death. We have drawn attention already to our text of Scripture, verse 8, and it speaks to us about the way of life and the way of death. And that, of course, is powerful application in the gospel this evening. But as we come to this passage of Scripture, it is necessary to give a little bit of the background and to add a little bit of context to that 8th verse. Jerusalem was the city under siege, and the Babylonians had come and their forces had surrounded this city. And the only thing that was protecting the inhabitants of Jerusalem at this time were the walls around that ancient city of Jerusalem. King Zedekiah had come and he decided to inquire of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. And King Zedekiah was wondering, would the Lord intervene on behalf of his people? Would the Lord come to their aid? Would the Lord come to their help? You can see in the words of verse 2, "Inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us." It was their hope. Their hope that the Lord would intervene. It was their hope that the Lord would come on their behalf and the Lord would fight for them. Well, the reply that they received was not the reply that they were hoping for. You look there in verse 4. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans which besiege you without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of this city." And the Lord was actually telling them that the weapons that were in their hands would become powerless to stop the Babylonians. And the Babylonians that had surrounded and encompassed the city and were outside the walls, the Lord says, very soon your enemy will not be outside, but they'll be inside. They will assemble themselves in the midst of this city. And verse 5 states the situation very plainly. The Lord says, "And I myself will fight against you." And the Lord, rather than coming to intervene on their behalf and to fight for them and to deliver them, the Lord said, "I'm going to fight against you." However, with the words of our text, there was a message of mercy. That message of mercy there in the words of verse 8, the Lord was setting conditions before his people. He said, "And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." And the Lord here was setting conditions before them, and he was saying to them, if they would surrender themselves and give themselves into the hands of the Babylonians to lay down their weapons, the Lord says, then you will live. God promised he would spare them. He said, that's the way of life. But if they remained where they were, and they sought to fight on, then the Lord says, you will perish at the hands of the Babylonians. And so the Lord was saying to them, in effect, I'm setting before you a way where you can live, and I'm setting before you a way where you will die. They were left with that dilemma. Therefore, as we see something of the background here to the words of her text, you can see how very much so this was a matter of life and death. The way of life and the way of death. And a number of observations that I want to make in relation to that this evening. Firstly, the danger they faced. Due to their sin and rebellion, God's people who had turned away from the Lord, and the Lord was now using the Babylonians to chastise them, and they were now in grave danger. And they were in grave danger because of their sin. We didn't read on into the 12th verse, but you could look at verse 12 with me. O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go out like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And the Lord says, this is why this is happening. It's because of the evil of your doings. It's because of your sin. It's because of your rebellion. And you could look into verse 14, and the Lord says, but I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings. And because of the evil of their doings and the fruit of their doings, they were rendered guilty before God. And the Lord was revealing to them their sin, and he's now bringing before them the consequences of their sin. They are going to suffer punishment because of sin. And in the gospel tonight, we each one would have to see that we are guilty before God. In our natural estate, we find that we have broken God's law. We have transgressed God's law. And as we stand guilty before God, we face the condemnation of God against sin. And it is a fearful thought tonight. It is a solemn thought to be under the condemnation of God. If you notice the words in verse 5 of our Bible reading, and the Lord said, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And here's the anger and fury and the great wrath of the Lord against sin, and judgment was coming to them. That judgment would come by way of pestilence. Pestilence was coming. And famine was coming because the Chaldeans are right around the city. And they have besieged that city, and they're willing to bide their time because they know that they're going to run out of food in the city, so famine was coming. And of course, the sword was coming because those Babylonians are just waiting to enter into that city. And so we can see the anger, the fury, and the wrath of God that's demonstrated here in the passage. Not read the whole of verse 7, but you could look towards the end of the 7th verse, and it's speaking here about the sword of Nebuchadnezzar. It says, "He shall not spare them, neither have pity nor have mercy." And so what you see here depicted in chapter 21 is the wrath of God and judgment that's coming, and it's judgment without mercy. There would be no pity and there would be no mercy. And that's where the unconverted soul stands tonight, in grave danger. In grave danger of the anger, the fury, and the wrath of God that will be poured out against sin. The unconverted soul tonight, unprepared for eternity, you're in danger of facing the wrath of Almighty God. The Psalm 1 and the verse 5 states, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." The ungodly will not stand in that great day. In other words, they're going to be condemned in that great day. And that was the danger that they faced. Then I want you to notice, secondly, not only the danger that was facing them, but the decision that was facing them. Look again at our text of Scripture in verse 8, "And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." And the Lord said, I'm setting this before you. This is the Lord's plan. This is the work of the Lord of hosts, and they are presented here with a choice. They have a decision to make. It's the way of life, or it's the way of death. And doesn't that show us this evening the decision that has to be made in the gospel, the decision that every soul is faced with in the gospel? It's one of two ways. It's the way of life or it's the way of death. And those two ways, they run right through the Word of God. They're spoken of in different ways. You remember in the days of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and the verse 19. It says there, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." The same two ways in the days of Moses. The way of life and the way of death. The way of blessing and the way of cursing. The same two ways in the days of Joshua. You remember when Joshua came towards the end of his life and with the whole congregation of Israel assembled before him in Joshua 24 and the verse 15. He said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said in his day, there's a choice that you have to make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And is it going to be the way of life, or is it going to be the way of death? Is it going to be the false gods and the gods of the Amorites, or is it going to be the only true and living God? Remember in the days of Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 18 and the verse 21, And Elijah came before Israel with that similar challenge. And he gave that charge to the people. It says in 1 Kings 18 and 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And Elijah was saying, you can't halt between two opinions. You can't sit on the fence. You cannot be neutral. If the Lord be God, follow him. And if it's Baal, then follow him. The choice, the decision that is before us right throughout the Word of God. You could go through the book of Proverbs. You find the different ways being set before us in the book of Proverbs. For example, in Proverbs 8 and 20, it speaks about the way of righteousness. The way of righteousness. In Proverbs 13 and the verse 15, it speaks about the way of the transgressors. The way of the transgressors, or the way of righteousness. It's the two ways. And you come into the New Testament scriptures and you come to the Gospel of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, and there in Matthew 7 and the verses 13 and 14, and we read about the straight gate and the wide gate, and we read about the broad way and the narrow way. And the Lord said there, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Oh, the straight gate, the wide gate, the broad way, the narrow way, the way that leads to destruction and the way that leads to life. There's the choice, there's the decision that is before us. The gospel brings us to the crossroads. The message of the gospel brings us to that decision time. You're either going to accept the Lord or you're going to reject the Lord. You're going to be saved or you're going to be lost. It's the way of life or it's the way of death. And you've all that decision to make tonight before the Lord. What way are we going to choose? Is it the way of life or is it the way of death? I remember that little chorus that I learned in Sunday school as a child. It says, "I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet." And Satan, he was standing there and he said, "Come this way. There's lots and lots of pleasures I can give to you today." But I said, "No, there's Jesus here. Just see what he offers me. Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, my home in heaven." Praise God, that's the way. That's the way for me. The decision tonight. It lies before each one of us in the gospel. You stand at the crossroads. It's the way of life. It's the way of death. Details are given in the verse 9 of our Bible reading. The details of the way of life and the way of death. And it says, "He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword." If you stay in the city, you're going to die. You're going to die by the sword or by the famine and by the pestilence. That's the way of death. "But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey." And here you have the details of both ways. You see, that way of life, that way of life was on God's terms, and the Lord saying, "I'm setting before you the way. And here is the way of life. You must lay down your arms. And you must stop resisting. And you must surrender yourself. You must surrender yourself to the Lord's way." And you must cast yourself upon the promise of God. That if you do what the Lord is directing you to do and you trust Him, you'll live. That's the way of life. But the way of death, that was strange, because the way of death, they had just to remain as they were. The way of death, they would just continue to do what they had been doing. They would just stay where they were and they would continue to struggle, but the arm of the flesh was going to feel them. The Lord said, if you just stay there in the city, you're going to die. That's the way of death. But if you do what the Lord says and you obey Him, you'll live. The way of life. And I say to you tonight, if you're not saved, the right decision for you to make tonight is to choose the way of life. The way that the Lord has laid down in His Word. That you can surrender yourself to the Lord. You can turn to Him. You can trust in Him for life. And there's no other way. There's no other option. There's no other hope. But the decision tonight, that's the decision that you face. And so the danger they faced and the decision they faced, but then the destiny that they faced. It's recorded in 2 Kings, in the chapter 25, the parallel portion, tells us the outcome. And it tells us that King Zedekiah did not surrender himself, did not obey the Lord, and did not choose the way of life, but he resisted. And he resisted right to the end, and he resisted to the point when there was no bread, no food left in the city at all, and the famine had bitten sore, and they came to the point where they decided to make a run for it, and they tried to escape. But the Chaldeans pursued after them and overtook them. And we read the outcome for King Zedekiah. 2 Kings 25 and the verse 6 it says, so they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And they gave judgment upon him. He now faces judgment. The next verse in that chapter in 2 Kings 25, it says, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Oh, they've overtaken them. They've captured them. They're carrying them away. They're now facing the judgment, and King Zedekiah must watch as his sons are slain. You know, that was the last sight that he had. Because immediately after his sons were slain, they put out his eyes. They put out his eyes. And they bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. Oh, he had chosen, but he had made the wrong choice. He made the wrong decision. The last thing that the king saw was his sons perishing by the sword. And what a sorry sight that must have been. And then they bound him and they carried him away to Babylon. And it was there that he died. And that was a destiny that he did not want to reach. That was a place that he did not want to end up. That was a place that he did not want to go. But he came to a sorry end. And his family came to a sorry end. And yet that was a destiny that he could have avoided. But he rejected God's way of life. Do you see tonight the gospel application is clear? The way of life is the way of Christ. The way of Christ. The way of life is the way of the cross. The way of life tonight is the way of cleansing through the Savior's precious blood. And there is that way of life tonight that ends in the destiny of heaven. leads to glory. Therefore, I say tonight, do not remain in your sin. Do not remain in your unsaved state. There's a message of mercy that comes to you in the gospel. It's a message of love tonight, and it's a matter of life and death. I referred earlier to those words of Moses in Deuteronomy 30 and the verse 19. And Moses showed the two ways, the way of life and the way of death, and the way of blessing and the way of cursing. And then Moses urged upon them. He urged upon them to make the right choice. And he said, choose life. Choose life. And I would encourage you tonight, if you're not saved, that you would make that right decision. The decision that will bring you to the destiny of heaven and not hell. And may God give tonight that deciding grace to unconverted souls. May God bless His word and use it to His honor and to His glory. 200